Psalm 23. Everybody knows this psalm. Every unbeliever knows this psalm. This is the one that it's amazing that people have it read at funerals. There's a tendency on my part, as is with so many passages of Scripture, that the passages that are so popular, so universal, I tend to kind of go, but it's God's Word. The reason these things are so popular is because these are really the most powerful, most wonderful passages of Scripture. And it speaks to so many. But I want us to understand, though, as we get into this, and it's only six verses, and I'll try to make it short, that when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," you know, one of the great thoughts in all the world when unbelievers read this, they believe that the Lord is their shepherd. No, Jesus makes it really clear in John chapter 10 that either he's your shepherd or somebody else is your shepherd. As Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." And so Jesus has his flock. Now, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, then you are of his flock. And it's not just because you go to church or anything. It's just, is he really your shepherd? And before we get into all that, did I pray? No? All right, let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you so much for looking out after us, for taking care of us, leading us to the right places, feeding us, and preparing a place for us. We thank you, Lord, that we know your voice and you know our names. What an amazing thing that is. And I pray that as a result of us just looking at these few verses, that we would be brought to that place of absolute confidence in you, God. And that regardless of whatever may be going on in our lives, that we're going to be okay. Because you're our shepherd. So, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit and speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of shepherds in the Scriptures. You know, David was a shepherd. And we imagine David sitting out there, who also was a musician and a harp player. He's out there watching the sheep. And you imagine him just looking at the sheep and loving those sheep so much that this song began to pour out of him as he realizes that he has a shepherd in heaven who loves him more than he loves those sheep. But I think that I'm kind of in agreement with many of the commentators who suggest that David wrote this psalm late in life, and that maybe he did not write it from when he was a child watching the sheep, but as an old man looking back over his whole life and realizing that God was in control and that God loved him. God got him through this, and this. And David had been through plenty of this, and this. David did indeed, though he was a shepherd, he knew what it was to watch after sheep. And he knew how he felt about those sheep. And he knew how those sheep needed him. There are famous shepherds in the Bible. Jacob, who would later be named Israel, he was a shepherd. And his whole family were shepherds. In fact, when they moved down to Egypt, they had to live in a totally different area because shepherds were detestable people to the Egyptians. And Egyptians didn't want to be around any shepherds. Moses was a shepherd. He started out being, you know, in the royal line of the Pharaoh. But then He feared for his life and ran into the Midian wilderness, and there he became a shepherd. It's awesome that Moses would become a shepherd. He became a shepherd for 40 years. He watched somebody else's sheep. And then God called him, "All right, now I want you to watch my sheep." And so is the case with anybody who is a pastor. We know that David was a shepherd, and Jesus, John chapter 10, says that he is the good shepherd. He knows how to take care of his sheep. He calls them, we know his voice. And we come when he calls. That's how you know you belong to the Lord. One of the ways you know. This whole business of pastor, which actually means shepherd. And so this helps me, by the way. This is just a little lesson for pastors. Helps me understand something, that these are somebody else's sheep that I'm watching out after. You are not my sheep. It was always God's sheep when Moses led them. And so always leading them to the real shepherd, the only shepherd. Now, the amazing thing, too, is that God would condescend to the status of a shepherd. Egyptians said shepherds are detestable, and here God calls himself a shepherd as he looks out after sheep. And let's just look at the first one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Understand what this means. It doesn't say it, but it is implied, and it's a fact. Then if the Lord is our shepherd, that makes us sheep. We are compared to sheep throughout the scriptures. We are sheep because sheep are not the brightest creatures on the planet. Sheep do stupid things. Sheep are followers. They want to follow other sheep. They just want to follow something. Somebody that's like, what are you doing? I don't know, I'm just looking for something to follow. And they've got to follow something. I've heard stories of sheep and how they're just not the brightest things, and that if they fall over, they don't even know how to get themselves back up again. And how, as a friend of mine was telling me, that he had sheep, and sometimes the sheep would walk into the corner of the pen and get stuck. And go, meh, meh, hey. Hey, help. Hey, hey. And the dogs, the sheep dogs, would come and bark at them. Like, try to scare them out of the corner. Go, row, 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 row. And it would only scare the sheep more. No, no, I'm stuck, and now they're barking at me. And then the dogs would actually just start nipping at them and biting at them. And then there's wool flying everywhere. The sheep is still stuck in the corner. And I see so many people stuck in their corners. You see so many people walk this way and they can't get out of that corner. And you know why? Let's just say it. Because they're so stupid. People are stupid. And no matter what's coming at us, we don't know how to get out of that corner. Something else I learned about sheep. Do you know sheep? Cannot these domesticated sheep, I mean, we're not talking about the bighorn sheep and all those things all over the wild ones. We're talking about these domesticated things. They cannot survive without a human shepherd. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to go. They don't know anything. All they know is their shepherd. They'd have these sheep pens in Israel. I've only read about them. I've never been. But they have these sheep pens where the shepherds would come and they would put their sheep in the same pens with other sheep. And the shepherds would be out, they would sleep there. And then as the sun came up and they were ready to move their sheep again, they would call out with their voice and the sheep would know whose voice that was, and his own sheep would just separate from the other sheep there because they knew their shepherd. They knew the one that cared for them. I think that is so cool because while sheep can be pretty ditzy, they did know their shepherd's voice. I praise God I know my shepherd's voice because I'm pretty stupid and I need him. So the Bible is not real complimentary when it comes to describing people. And so, anyway, so sheep are, you know, they're followers, they're just dumb, they get walk in the corners, they're cute and fluffy, and that's why we're called sheep. But understand, the Lord is not everybody's shepherd. He's only the shepherd of those who have come to him. But what is this business, I shall not want? Well, if the Lord is your shepherd, then you shall not want. Why? Because you know you have everything. You know you are taken care of. You know there isn't anything else you need, and you can be flipped out about one thing or another, but as long as you know, oh, there's the shepherd, okay, I'm good. I'm okay. Now, it reads in the NIV, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Which is actually, I shall not lack, is a better translation of this. And the fact is, yeah, you and I will want things. I do want things. Every one of us wants something. But the fact is this, we don't need to want anything if we have our eyes on the shepherd. And we will lack nothing. As Jesus said to the disciples, Matthew chapter 6. He says, you know, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. You seek me first, all this stuff is taken care of. So, Christians, we follow the Lord. And in all reality, there's not a care in the world. We have contentment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. And so, verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. These are things that shepherd would understand. These are things that David for sure would do with his sheep. He would bring them to places where they could eat. And that they would eat so much that they would finally just lie down and stop flipping out. He would make sure they were filled. He would lead them to places, well, still waters. Sheep are skittish. Sheep flip out really easy. And so, if they were ever going to drink, they would have to be by somewhere where it was very still. If there was any bubbling kind of a brook, it would cause them to flip out. So, now drink that. No! And so, the Lord knows that we are skittish. He also knows what we need. Notice this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Two things that God does in our lives. He leads us to the best places, and sometimes he forces us to the best places. He makes us lie down in green pastures. See, you and I don't know what the best pastures are. We, just like your children, my children believe like the best dinner is, well, they still believe this is the, like is waffles with whipped cream. You know, it's like that is the best dinner. But parents, no, that's not the best dinner. Let me make you, let me force you to eat the best dinner. As God does with you and me, he forces us sometimes to be in a situation that's going to feed us and take care of us and do the best for us. And the reason he forces us is because we just don't see it the way he sees it very often. I praise God that much of my life is just not even my choice. you and I don't get to choose so much of what goes down in our lives. Oh, praise God for that. Praise God for that. The other part is scary. The parts where we do have a choice. Because you want to choose rightly. But here's the deal. He is going to make us lie down in green pastures. But he is also going to lead us to some places. In other words, we have a choice and we don't have to go. And that is still waters. Lead us by still waters. And of course, the picture there is that of peace, serenity. Everybody thinks of the the scenery there with still waters, and it's very peaceful. And so while the Lord may force us into the best place for us in order to feed us, regarding peace, He only leads us. He will never force His peace on us. But He'll lead the way. And here's the deal. You and I cannot find peace any other way but through Him and through His leading. Philippians chapter 4, we know Paul says, be anxious for nothing, right? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so there's God's word, God Almighty, leading us to peace. Because you don't have to do what Paul says there. It's just the Lord's leading you there. You're not going to be forced to be at peace with something. But the cool thing is that you and I have that choice all the time. The Lord will always lead us into peace. But whether or not we take it, well, that's another thing. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We know what restoration feels like. And we know that what, as it reads in the NIV here, refreshing feels like. He refreshes my soul. And the times where you feel so dry and you feel like there's nothing that's going right, and then somehow, some way, you're just feeling alive again. And you know it came from God. But I also know that when Peter preached the gospel in the book of Acts, that he said, repent so that times of refreshing may come. Now, what's really cool about that is that if you want to be made alive, restored, refreshed, repentance is the answer. And what I find very interesting is that in the Hebrew here for this word restores or refreshes, the Hebrew meaning is actually brings back. Because we wander. We wander and He brings us back. He restores our lives by bringing us back. And that's why Peter says, hey, repent so that times of refreshing may come. You're walking this way and the Lord's over here. You got to be where God is if you want your life back. And so that's beautiful. He restores my soul. He brings back my soul. He brings back my life. And we know that Luke chapter 15 gives that picture of, you know, Jesus saying, I got 100 sheep. One of them's lost. He leaves the 99 and goes after the one. That's our shepherd. And He sees every lost sheep. Because He wants to bring you back. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Not in the path of righteousness, but it's plural here. I mean, we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And He is the path. He is the path. But here it says paths of righteousness. That doesn't mean every path leads to God. but the fact is this. So many times in parts of our lives, I've got, you know, say, in my relationships, I'm going to go down the path of righteousness. But when it comes to business, maybe I'll do it my way. There are a lot of paths in our lives. And the Lord's intention for you and me is that every path we take, be it business, be it relationships, be it money, be it whatever, fill in the blank, that we would take the path that the Lord is leading us on. Here's another thing He does not force us to do. God will not force you to have peace. He'll only show you the way. God will not force you to be righteous. He'll just show you the way. But He'll lead us in those paths for His name's sake. I think that's kind of funny. He is the good shepherd, and so He's going to make good on His promises, right? Because this is all about Him. And so He is going to lay out the paths, the perfect paths for us. And He does it so that when we walk on them, then all honor and glory goes to Him. Because He gave us those paths. Now, unfortunately, many Christians and so-called Christians have given Christ a bad name by the paths that they walk on. But it's only giving Christ a bad name in the imaginations of the world. Because the fact is this, every Christian who gives Christ a bad name wasn't walking where Christ was telling him to. You cannot possibly give Christ a bad name by walking with Him. And so, we must choose the paths of righteousness. But He has laid out those paths. And you get that, will you? He has laid those paths out for us. And He leads us. And verse 5. No. I'm still in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. We always like that verse. I think this is why people like this at memorial services and funerals and stuff. I'm not really sure it's talking about death itself. I think it's just about the darkest times of our lives, and it may be death that we're talking about. We go through the valleys. That's a picture of the worst times of our lives, amen? And we go through the shadows, those dark times, and then death itself. You and I don't have any need to be afraid if we belong to the Lord. Now, if you don't belong to the Lord, well, then you have every right in the world to be afraid. But here's the deal. Let's just speak generally here. The shepherd leads the sheep. And sometimes the shepherd, knowing where the best place to go is, brings the sheep through a place where they're going to get a little more skittish than usual. Just like you have been led through times that are a little more difficult than usual. The Lord's bringing you to a good place. And the fact is this, you and I do not need to fear in those situations. Why? It says right here, for You are with me. For You are with me. That wonderful illustration my little girl gave me when she was 3 years old. When we walked through, I can't remember where it was, but just walking through a little dark forested area. I think it was out by our house when we were living on Sherwood Road. Walking that dark forested area and there was a funny little noise and I was holding her hand and she tensed up. And I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, "Are you?" I love that. It was Sarah, by the way, and her mind has always been something. Anyway, she said, "Are you?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Then I'm not scared either." The world opened up to me. And I realized that the Lord is with me. he's not scared. My wife knows, kids know, I'm a very fearful man. Nervous. And I don't need to be. I don't need to be afraid. I have no business being afraid. For the things that I'm afraid of, I mean, big deal. Why? God is with me. He's going to take care of me. He has always taken care of me. And if I were to face the very things that I'm so deathly afraid of, you know what? He's going to be there. And I'm going to survive. Every once in a while, whenever you're afraid, I just want to encourage you to ask God a question. Lord, are you scared? Because if he's not, and you belong to him, you have nothing to fear. That's beautiful. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Interesting. You try to figure out, well, how does this relate to our relationship with the Lord? It certainly relates to sheep and a shepherd, as the sheep would be skittish, and David a shepherd, or Moses a shepherd, these guys, or Jacob, any of these guys, they would know, they would sense that the sheep are scared, and they have a rod and a staff, or they just have the one rod or the one staff. The staff was the one with the little, you know, bo peep thing on it, right? Little hook on it. And that way they could, you know, pull sheep out of ravines and things like that with that. And they would use it to tap the sheep and get them to go this way or that way. Or they would also use it to count the sheep, you know, boom, boom, boom. And so I'm thinking here, the sheep would be flipped out a little bit and then suddenly feel the staff of the shepherd. And they'd say, okay, that's right. God's here. That's good. I'm going to be okay. My shepherd's here. You know, just as you and I go through our lives, going through the valley of the shadow of death, or whatever it may be, and God has a way of reminding you that he's there. Just the normal, everyday occurrences of life. If we lift up our eyes, and as we're going through our stuff, something happens. This happens, or that happens. And it's God's reminder to you and me that he's there. I don't recommend this prayer, but this is a prayer I prayed one time. I was really having a bad day. This was at least 22, 23 years ago. I'd known the Lord for a couple of years, and I'm working in a school for minimum wage. Working in a school for minimum wage with kids who have behavioral problems. They couldn't make it in a regular school, and these kids are just, they couldn't, and a lot of the kids are medicated. A lot of the kids didn't need medication, they just needed a spanking. And anyway, every day was difficult there. Now, I got to school one morning, and I was feeling sorry for myself. And this really happened. This is so awesome. I said, sitting at my desk as the kids are starting to come in, I said, Lord, please, please, God, let me know that you're here. You know, first of all, God never has to answer that question, that prayer. And the reason I say that is because just lift up your eyes and look around you. Look at nature. Look at everything. Look at where God has brought you. Look at where you were. Look at where you are now. God is here. But sometimes, and he knows we're weak, and he knows we're skittish, he knows we're scared, he knows we're a lot of things. But I asked him, I just begged him, God, please let me know you're here. I got done praying, and then I totally forgot what I had prayed. I just like, psh, okay, I'm done praying that prayer. I mean, let's get on with this. You know, okay, I don't expect God to answer that question. And then first grader, 6 years old, his name was Peter. Believe it or not, his name was Peter Fisher. He sat down in his seat. It was Monday, and I said, Peter, how was your weekend? And he says, we, and I thought, oh, crud, I forgot. Peter stutters, this is going to take a long time. We went to church and I learned that Jesus died for my sins. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Lord just touched me. Says, I'm here. I'm here. Like I said, I do not recommend praying that prayer because it's just this thing of just, you know, God, I want you to do things on my schedule the way I want you to do them. But I think there are other ways to just know He's here. Just remember, look back on your stones of remembrance, the things, the times God showed up, the times that God bailed you out, the times just look around you, look at all creation, look at everything. God is here. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Interesting thing that shepherds do. They go out and they'll find places. They'll have the sheep over here. Then they'll go out and find a place that is going to be really good for their sheep to lie down or to eat at. And so, but what they'll do is they'll clear an area out and they'll kind of put stuff up around it so that they're protected in there. And while they're doing this, everywhere that they would bring the sheep, there are always wolves, and the wolves would be lurking and watching. But the wolves also knew that they had no chance whatsoever as long as the shepherd was around. And the wolves are watching the shepherd prepare a table for the sheep. Just as Satan himself watches Jesus prepare the table for us. The marriage supper of the Lamb. There's nothing the enemy can do about it. He wants to devour you. And he can't do it. And it just, one of the most glorious victories over Satan is just the fact that God is giving us all of these things. And there's not a thing Satan can do about it. Nothing. I had a lady ask me a question once, saying, if I want to really get closer to the Lord, is Satan going to try to get in the way? And I said, yeah. And she goes, oh, no. I said, wait a minute. He's going to lie to you and tell you he can get in your way. But you just keep walking because God's going to just keep preparing that table and the enemy cannot touch you. So we know that right now, John chapter 14 verses 1 through 3, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so the Lord is preparing that for you and me. He says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. For the sheep, it was medicinal. They get little bugs and they get little parasites, and they'd butt each other's heads. And they would get injured. They put oil on there for the medicine. But there's another thing. This is stuff I hear. I have never watched sheep. I would love to spend a week with sheep. No longer. But it's said that sometimes there are aggressive sheep. And the aggressive sheep would get on each other and injure one another. And so he would, so the shepherd would not just oil the little owies they got, but just put oil all over their heads so that when they tried to butt heads again, they would slip off and no one would get hurt. Well, sort of like, you know, boxers, they put Vaseline all over their, you know, so the punches slip. And so this oil all over the heads of the sheep, causing the aggressive sheep to not get hurt. Oh my goodness. The oil represents the Holy Spirit of God. And the Lord, our shepherd, anoints our heads with oil because you and I don't get along that well all the time. And we need the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that if somebody should butt heads with us, it's going to just slip off. We're not going to let that eat us up. And if you are letting something eat you up that another sheep has done or said, ask the Lord for a fresh filling of His Holy Spirit, that it would just slip off. And as the Lord fills us with His Holy Spirit, well, the picture of my cup runs over. It's just overjoyed. When Jesus says, anyone who is thirsty in John chapter 7, let him come to me, and out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I remember the day I was saved, and every once in a while God brings me back to that, where I am so incredibly overjoyed. And talk about cup runs over. As the Holy Spirit fills you up and it just comes pouring out your eyes. I could not stop crying. And sometimes the Lord brings me back to that place. And I'm to this day, and that was over 25 years ago, to this day, I can just break down and cry. Because God has touched me. God has poured His Holy Spirit into me. That joy inexpressible. 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9. Peter says, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is one of those things where, you know, Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 to set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Always look to the horizon. Look at where you're going. That's another good way to get along with your brothers and sisters. It's a good way to not sin, is to get your eyes on the destination and just be blown away that you're going. This is goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now, I want to play around with these words for a second. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. It doesn't say, and I will follow goodness and mercy. No, they follow me. Well, what's wrong with following goodness and mercy? Shouldn't we follow the good things, and shouldn't we follow, you know, be merciful? And all? Yo, by all means. But you know what? Let's just do this. Let's follow God. As we are seeking after Him in all that He is, as we seek Him, what we're going to notice is that goodness and mercy are following us everywhere we go. Good things happen to us. Why? Well, because we're following God. God will be merciful toward us. He'll be compassionate toward us. And these things follow us. The reason I bring that up is that, you know what, you and I may have kind of a different idea of what goodness and mercy are, and we may look for them in other things. Some people may follow after Buddhism or something like that and say, well, that's good. I'll follow the goodness that I find in Buddhism. I'll follow the goodness that I find in this or in that. And it's like, well, no. You follow God and let God's goodness and His mercy follow you. And we're going to be with Him forever. Forevermore. amazing. So, just looking back over the entire psalm, I want to just show us something here. The Lord is our shepherd. Christians, okay, if you're not a Christian, then just give your life to Jesus. Say, hey, you know, turn from your sin, turn to Him, be born again. And I'll tell you, then He is your shepherd. And if He is your shepherd, this is what He does for us. He makes us lie down in the best places. But He has to force us, and I praise God that He forces us. He leads us to peaceful places and to the right paths in every situation. He restores our lives. He brings us back when we stray. He prepares a place for us, and He gives us His Holy Spirit. These are His responsibilities, should I say, as a shepherd. That's what He does. These are the responsibilities He lays upon Himself for our care. And so He does these things no matter what. He's always doing these things. Now, we sheep, what this translates into are responsibilities for us. There are two things that we are responsible for. We are not to want, and we are not to fear. Those are up to us completely. Those are the choices God gives us. He says, you can go ahead and feel like you're getting the short end of the stick somehow. But you're not getting the short end of the stick. You're just looking in all the wrong places. You can go ahead and fear. But you don't need to. And so here's the deal. If you and I, as sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we waste our energy and time in wanting and fearing, still, goodness and mercy will follow us. And we're going to live with God forever. This is that mind-blowing stuff for me. You ever feel like God ought to punish you if you're scared of something you ought not be scared of? It's like, well, God shouldn't even pay attention to me because I'm just so nervous about that. No, God's not punishing you. The fear is. God doesn't want you to live there. If we are covetous and we want things for ourselves and we say, God, I know that you gave me salvation and I know I'm going to heaven and you feed me enough all the time, but I just don't feel like I'm getting enough. Now, if I were God, I'd punish you for that. But God doesn't. Because the covetousness in and of itself is punishment. What is God say in Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 19? It says your sins and your backslidings will punish you. The sins themselves do the punishing. But we belong to Him, and we're sitting on the bus on our way to glory. And some people on the bus are just having the ride of their lives. Having a good time, look out the window, have this, oh, this is so great, getting to know everybody else on the bus. And then there are those people on the bus that are just sitting there saying, I hope we don't crash. Yeah, I wish I had a window seat. How come I got the bumpy seat? Okay, you got those people on the bus, and you got the people that are just saying, we're going to heaven. Everybody's getting there. As it happened, one more little story. I'm kind of in story mode. When Bridget and I were really struggling financially for about 3 years, it lasted. Some real rotten financial struggles. I flipped out all the time. There wasn't a minute where I wasn't just flipping out. That prayer that went on, that praying without ceasing, that same prayer sounded just like this all day and every day. Oh God, oh please, oh please, oh God, oh please, oh God, oh please, oh please, oh God. That was my prayer. Oh, I was never comfortable. I was so scared as I felt as he was dangling me over a ledge all the time, just dangling me there. And through all of that worrying, the Lord took care of us. I'd flip out, oh God, oh please, oh please, oh God, oh please. And then some little miracle would happen, or some big miracle would happen, and suddenly we were able to pay that bill, or we were able to eat some macaroni and cheese. It was like, wow! Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers. And then it happened 21 years ago on our anniversary. I had $7. That's all I had. That's all we had to our name. Went down to the store with my $7. And I'm saying, no, $7. What am I going to do with this? And then I looked at it and I just thought, wow, I got $7. I mean, it could be worse, right? I could have $3, right? Or no dollars. I got $7. I'm going to get something for Bridget for our happy anniversary. And I went into the store, and they had these little bouquets of funny little flowers and stuff. That was a few bucks, and I thought, no, I won't get her flowers. She knows I'm a fake. I'm not a flowers guy. And I'm looking at, what does she like? Ice cream. Now suddenly, I don't know what happened, what came over me, other than just the Holy Spirit of God. I was bubbling over with joy. And I wasn't worried about a thing. Oh, we needed money. We needed money bad. And I was spending our last $7 on ice cream for my wife. She loves ice cream. I'm going to give her ice cream for our happy anniversary. I felt so good about myself. Bringing the ice cream home. I walk in the house. I'm overjoyed. I am so happy. No bills are paid. No food in the fridge. But I got ice cream. And I said, happy anniversary! I have a present for you. She says, I have a present for you. I said, really? Where did you get a present from me? She goes, I just have one. Okay. I said, what's the present? Give me my present. And she says, no, you first. What is wrong with this woman? And so I pull out the ice cream. Ice cream! And she says, oh, okay, great. I'm thinking, oh, come on, man. I got you the ice cream. You love ice cream. I've been feeling very joyous. And then I said, so what's your present for me? And she held up an envelope that she found while she was just straightening up the room, this envelope there with little kids writing on it, says the Greens. And there were three $100 bills. She opened it up and just said, here it is. And then we jumped up and down. And then God spoke to me. I understood something suddenly. I learned that God is going to take care of me if I flip out. And I also learned that God is going to take care of me if I don't flip out. And that when we believe God, oh, it does not change God. It changes us. How wonderful to have a good ride on the way to glory by just believing God is going to take care of you the whole way. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to flip out. And we don't need to want. It's taken care of. It's all taken care of. Father, thank you for your word, and I want to thank you for the fact that you just... Lord, how faithful you are to look out after us. How faithful you have been. Lord, when we have been faithless, you remain faithful. Lord, we're just pretty stupid sheep, and you are one loving shepherd. How wonderful to know, God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And that you will always, always, always be working on our behalf. And I want to just pray for those here tonight that might need some restoring or refreshing or to be brought back. I want to pray for those tonight who are worried, scared, nervous. And also, Lord, for those who don't believe they have enough. Oh, God, you know thoughts I've had the last week. I ask you to forgive me. And I thank you that you do. Lord, wash us all clean. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe you. And help us just be overjoyed over who you are. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.